Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts 23. Acts 23. Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening we thank you that you have purposed that we be granted the privilege to again meet together and to assemble ourselves together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to hear of his honor, to hear of his obedience, to hear of his work, to hear of the accomplishment of our salvation in bringing glory to himself and to you, Holy Father. We ask you to bless the word, bless it to our understanding, bless it to the honor of our blessed Savior. And we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. An evil plot had been providentially discovered by the chief captain that was stationed in Jerusalem. The Spirit of God that orders the steps of his people, all things, who moves, who breathes upon, who brings all things to pass, to bring honor to God himself, placed Paul's nephew at exactly the right spot. If God Almighty is going to order all things after the counsel of his own will, he's got to order everything. Everything has got to be brought together in accordance with God's purpose. He who establishes the end from the beginning. Put Paul and Paul's nephew and these soldiers and everybody else exactly where they were. Now, the events that's getting ready to unfold are going to reveal two vital truths, two things we're going to see tonight. Number one, carnal man is blind to the sovereign hand of Almighty God and his purpose. Carnal man has only a temporal regard for himself. He's blind to what's going on, and he doesn't care about anything but right now. He doesn't see that Almighty God is working all things after the counsel of his own will. Men don't do that. I'm telling you the truth. Man, by nature, does not more know what's going on. He's oblivious to it. And he doesn't care about anything concerning his eternal soul. He just doesn't care. Now you think about it. If you think I'm not telling you the truth, just stop for just a minute and think of those that you've crossed their path. They have no regard for the gospel, no regard for Christ, have no regard. And think how they come across to you in their attitude toward eternity. They don't care. They'll admit, I'm going to die one of these days, but cast themselves upon the mercy of God and ask Almighty God to have mercy on their soul. No. I tell you, you can often tell where a man stands concerning Christ. Not necessarily by what he does or says, but what he doesn't do or doesn't say. this chief captain, this one that Paul's nephew had come to, he had told him in verse 22, he said, I don't want you to tell anybody that you've shown me these things. This is a secret between us. But he performed his duty. I want you to look at verses 23, 24. He called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. Now, he did exactly what his duty was. He did exactly what God ordained him to do. But he had no recollection of the hand of God's providence to keep his own. He didn't see that. He didn't see God working in that thing. Man doesn't give God the glory. I was watching a little thing on television just a few minutes ago, and it was about a helicopter that crashed. And they showed the crash over and over and over, and they got the pilot out, and he got out, and they asked him, he said, well, you know, how you feel? He said, my helmet saved me. I thought, man by nature, he does not see the hand of God Almighty in anything. My helmet saved me. And I'll tell you something else about man. He's a liar. I want you to look at verses 25 to 28. He wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix, sendeth greetings. This man, talking about Paul, was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army, and I rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. And when I would have known the cause whereof they accused him, I brought him forth unto their council. Now, you know the thing that I noticed about it, his letter, is it did have an element of truth in it. There was an element of truth there, but he was appeasing his conscience. This is the way he told it. I'm sending you this fella right here because I saw he was in a plight. Knowing that he was a Roman, I came down and rescued him. I was there at the right time and the right place doing my duty. You know, he just failed to mention that he had bound Paul and was getting ready to beat him when he found out that Paul was a Roman. When Paul says, is it lawful to scourge a Roman uncondemned? Now, when he told the story, you know, I tell you, this chief captain, like all carnal men do, they paint themselves to themselves, and especially in their mind before God. I'm really not that bad. I am a good guy. Many will say unto me, the Lord said in that day, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name, cast out devils, and we preached in your name, and he'll say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, these, what they've done, these are people that were sitting in pews, standing in pulpits, proclaiming what in their mind was a message that brought honor to themselves, and they knew it did. They knew it brought honor to themselves. Two men went into the temple to pray, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I am so thankful that I'm not like other men are. And the Scripture says that all men are dug out of the same pit. Same lump of clay. You know the most deceitful thing in the world? The carnal heart. That is the most deceitful. Man by nature, his nature lies to him. I was raised up, I've told you this before, raised up in false religion. And I listen to false prophets, and that's all that men are that preach not the gospel. They're false prophets. They're not kind. They're not nice. They're merchandisers of men's souls. And men lied, and I believed it. Because I had a dead heart that did not believe the gospel of God's free grace. And my old carnal heart, and every man that's born in Adam is just like this. My heart lied to me and told me, you're okay. You made a profession of faith. Your mom and daddy goes to church and you go to church and you're in Sunday school and you're faithful and you pray every day and you're okay. And one of these days you're going to be in heaven. In fact, you're as sure for heaven as if you're already there. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man by nature is a liar to and about Almighty God. He lies to God. Adam, did you eat of the fruit that I told you not to? The first word that came out of his mouth was this: the woman that you gave me the fruit. I ate it, but she gave it to me. Cain, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord says, the voice of his blood cries unto me. I'm telling you, man comes forth from his mother's womb, liar. And a man that'll lie to God, which is what Adam did, and all men by nature are like that. A man that will lie to God, will lie about God, and will lie about himself. Who is a liar? Now you listen to this, 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now you know, without me going into a long discourse on that verse right there, that was the differentiation between those that were of God and those that were not of God. That denieth that Jesus is the Christ. And here's what we're saying when we say that. Any man that denies that God Almighty chose a people in His Son, gave them to His Son, and the Son who eternally covenanted to be their surety, to be their representative, to be their substitute, came into this world, sin of God, to redeem the elect of God, to be their atonement, to be their propitiation, their satisfaction before God, and to answer for them totally, so that there is no sin, no guilt. He purged their sin. Purged it. You know what purging is? Purging it. Get rid of it. He purged it. when He had by Himself. There's not one thing that you can add to that. There's not one thing that you're going to add to the glory that God Almighty has wrought Himself, Christ Himself. Your faith is not going to add to it. Your obedience is not going to add to it. And I'm telling you, even if you have to suffer for a few days, it's not going to add to the glory of Almighty God. He put away our guilt. That's what it is to preach that Jesus is the Christ. He is a liar that denies that Jesus is the Christ. He's Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. You say, men don't deny the Father and the Son. They deny that the Father has done what He says He's done. I chose. They deny. They call God a liar. They deny the Father. They deny the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I came into this world to give my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. And men will say, no, He didn't die for just... No, He didn't, no. He died for everybody. They're denying the Son. Gene, that's calling God a liar. Carnal man is oblivious to the mercy of Almighty God to His people. Look at verse 29. Here he said, whom I perceive to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. He's still writing to Felix. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid weight of the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, he said, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Now, this chief captain had spoken with contempt. Now, I want you to listen to the words that the chief captain that said, I saw these men, they jumped this guy, and I knew he was a Roman, so I rushed down there, saved him. Didn't know exactly what the deal was. This is what he said. Look at verse 29. Whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law. Just, they were arguing about religion, Felix. That's what this whole deal was about. They were just kind of disagreeing, just semantics, just questions of their law. One of them was saying one thing about their religion, and this fella was saying something else. But this question of which Paul was accused, let me tell you what that question was all about back in verse 6 of this chapter, Acts 23:6. When Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. And here was the question right here that they were arguing about. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. Now, what the whole issue was over was the hope, the resurrection of the dead, and the world to come. Sadducees didn't believe there was a resurrection. Pharisees did believe there was a resurrection. But how tragic is the attitude of man that has no regard that he's going to stand before Almighty God in His body. And He's going to stand before God Almighty, being raised from the dead. Now listen, this is what the resurrection, this is what we know to be so. Whenever a man, woman dies, their soul, without doubt, if a man dies in Christ, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And this body sleeps in the grave. Paul says it's sown in corruption. But it's going to be raised in incorruption. In the next few weeks, I'm going to bring a study on the resurrection. And I don't want to go ahead of myself right now, but I'm going to tell you something. This is what Scripture says. When the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, He came out of that grave in a body. A resurrected body. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. The way He came out, there's coming a time when His people are going to be raised in resurrection glory. All the questions that can come up. How can something go back to the dust? How can something burn up? How can something fall into the water? How can a fish eat a man that drowns? And how can, if God Almighty says that men are going to be raised, they're going to be raised. If God Almighty says that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead and the souls are going to be united again in a body, and in a body a man is going to stand before God, and in a body in Christ, as He is, and we'll be like Him. I'm way over my head right here, Carl. But I'm telling you, as the Scripture sets forth that the Lord Jesus Christ came out of that grave in His body, we're going to be raised incorruptible. Laid down in corruption, raised in incorruption, united with our souls that have been with Him. And every man, every woman that died without Christ is going to be raised in a body. And in a body that they rebelled against God, they're going to suffer eternally in a body. And they're going to know it, that they're in a body. And they're going to feel it in a body. All those found in Christ will live forever with Him in a resurrected body. A body. Just like this. As He walked, coming out of that grave, on the side of that seashore, they looked at Him and they saw Him. They knew who He was. It's the Lord. And He bore the scars of His crucifixion. He told Thomas, He said, "Look my side. Look these hands." Resurrected body. That's good, isn't it? I'm telling you, there's a time coming and we will forever be with Almighty God in a new body. And we'll know each other. They knew who Moses and Elijah was on the Mount of Transfiguration. They knew who they were. They knew the Lord. Peter saw Him. He looked out of that boat and he said, "It's the Lord." Jumped in that water. I'm telling you, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The Lord created this earth and He put man in a body on it. And man, He tended the gardens. He was a man. And he fell in the earth. Was cursed because of Him. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm telling you, we will be forever with the Lord, bodily, incorruptible, undefiled. Well, let me see where I was. They disputed that. They told Him, He said, "I just
He said, I perceive them to be accused of questions of their law. It's just, yeah, it was the resurrection. That's what the question was. Resurrection. But I'll tell you the second thing that we discover in here, vital truth. As you look at the backdrop of man's hopeless condition, here's the second vital truth. There is a glorious display of God's mercy shining forth. Every day, every moment, you look around this world and you see this world is falling to pieces. As far as this cursed world, sin that has corrupted the economies, there's nothing that has any lastingness to it. Men are going to die with absolutely, as far as this world is concerned, nothing. What do you think Felix has right now? Sorrow. No record that God ever did anything for him. Here we're reading about a man that left this world, a bunch of soldiers, the chief soldier, I can't even think of his title right now, whatever his title was that ordered the centurions of. There's one man that we hear about in this passage right here that God showed mercy to, is Paul. And with everything that was going on at that time, no one saw, save for Paul in that situation, the glorious display of God's mercy. In the midst of what appeared to be the natural chain of events, Paul's safety was being ordered by God, bringing about, God Almighty had purposed that he was going to go to Caesarea, and he was going to go to Caesarea. The steps of a good man, man made good by the imputed righteousness of Christ, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God Almighty has delighted to lead you, Brother Scott, exactly where you've been. And you delight in it too. Isaiah 14:27, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? 470 soldiers sent according outwardly to man's being the means, that chief captain did say, send them. But I'm telling you, that chief captain was but the mouthpiece of Almighty God that ordered Paul's safety. Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart, that means his will and his soul. I just looked that up just a minute ago. The king's heart, his will and his soul is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. If God Almighty leaves a man to himself, God can do whatever he pleases. If God leaves a man to himself, his will and his soul is in the hands of Almighty God. The Lord knoweth, 2 Peter 2:9, how to deliver the godly out of temptations and how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. These were questions. I understand that. Questions. It's mere minute technicalities as far as that chief captain was concerned. But I'm telling you, he had no idea. He was dealing in the very midst. Do you think for one second that chief captain, that Felix, that all those 407, do you think for one second they ever dreamed? We are at this moment, at this event right here, we are actually the ones that the Spirit of God is going to move upon Luke to write about. And this event that's taking place right here is going to be recorded in the eternal Word of God Almighty. And this event is going to be read about, and God's going to teach through what's happening right now for years to come. His power to call about, move about, establish that which He's purposed. And we're going to be the examples of what happens to men when God leaves them to themselves. You think that ever crossed their mind? Nope. What do you think's happening here tonight? Same thing. If God shows mercy, He shows mercy according to His will and purpose. If God leaves a man to himself, He leaves him to himself according to His will and purpose. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. It is to the Lord Jesus Christ preeminence is given in all things. Revelation 1:18, in closing, the issue was the resurrection. The issue was Christ raised from the dead, being the first fruits, and that which He did. And He had already been raised from the dead when this took place in time. And Paul said, the issue that we're talking about is the hope. The hope. The hope, the expectation that we have that He was raised, we're going to be raised. As He came out of that ground, ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God Almighty, we're going to be right there with Him. That's what this all was about. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and death. His life before the Father, His death of substitution to atone for His people, their guilt, His resurrection from the dead, Him being our justification before God, His ascension into heaven, He being seated in the heavenlies right now, ruling and reigning on the throne of God Almighty. These are not just mere questions to us. This is life. This is real. He is our hope. Our hope of glory. Jesus Christ. God's Christ, God's Lamb. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here you go.